You're listening to The Osiris Mounir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, all my luminaries. Today I have a very special surprise for you. How is everybody doing out there? First of all, let's get right to it. Announce the sponsor, certified senior real estate and probate specialist, Kevin Pico, or banker 818-571-1508. That cute little face will absolutely take care of everything you need with regards to real estate. So don't forget to call him, 818-571-1508. And a shout out to all those who choose love over chaos. It's a choice. You can choose to be chaotic or you can choose to be in a state of peace. It's all up to you. Welcome back to the set, everyone. Today, I want to talk about the human soul that lies within the machine. Yes, we spend a lot of time looking at screens all day now, a lot of digital content, analyzing algorithms. We wonder, is artificial intelligence taking over the world? But by tomorrow night, I guarantee you, I have on set with me three artists that will change your entire outlook on what art is. They are part of an international movement called Texpressionism. Now, think of art. Think of the expressionists like the Pollocks, the Krasners, and then movement. So let's say these artists put pixels, algorithms, digital code, and augmented reality into an emotional expression that moves across campus. Let me welcome to the set Randy Matashevitz, Victor Acevedo, and Lucy Boyd-Wilson. I love saying Dash Wilson on women's names. I think it's so funny. They'll put Dash for the other name. It's so cute. Welcome, everyone. It's so wonderful to see all of your beautiful faces and to know that tomorrow night you'll be shining in your brightness at LACTA, bringing us lots of original work. So Randy, let's start off with you. After doing some research, and I know you and I love your work, you seem to carry a lot of emotional weight. Your work focuses mainly on maybe the psychological impact of our environment, I would say chaos and connection. So as a Texpressionist, you put emotion first in a world that feels constantly disconnected. So you're using emotion in a world that is constantly being separated from our own emotions and from ourselves. How do you use these high-tech tools to create and capture raw, unfiltered human vulnerability?
Oh, that's a good question. So I feel that what the tools do is allow me to create a psychological, surrealistic environment. So by displacing the viewer, especially in a moving image, film or short video, it could tell a story and create this kind of sci-fi-esque narrative. By creating the displacement right away, the viewer can enter the story versus maybe having a dysphoria or a too uncanny, too disturbing, too disruptive. So I am able with tech to create this mysterious, unreal, to use the word uncanny again, environment. Mm-hmm. So, and that was, and something that I have done will be represented at the show at LACTA. If I can say that the name of the show is called Texpressionism 2026, Los Angeles and Beyond. We're a group of international artists. And for the first time, we're doing an extension collaboration with the digital arts community in this project called New Media Architects, mm-hmm. Architectures Experiment. So New Media Texpressionist Architectures Experiment, where we've been put in teams of different artists who have never met with sound, augmented reality or technology, and visual artists. Mm-hmm. So that is something we're doing at the show at LACTA, which opens tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, it's gonna be on and kicking. So Victor, You brave soul being with all these beautiful women around here. Your influences are, I read, you are a digital legend, starting out in the 80s on computer graphics. Come on, y'all. We're talking to people that know what they're doing. They've seen it, where it came from, where it is now, and where it's likely to go. So with, I know that you were in, you like Dolly, you've been influenced by artists like Picasso. And in working with computer graphics and digital synthesis since the 80s, how does it feel to blend photography, geometry, and psychedelic overlays? Because that's where your work reminds me of, like a lot of psychedelic stuff. When I looked at it, it looked like a lot of mixtures of circles, which I love circles. And if you notice on your name, I did some circles, some loops over the top of your name, because you seem to have a lot of continuity in your work. How has the visual language of Textpressionism influenced your work enough to want to be a, and to be a Textpressionist? How have you seen the changes, influences who you are now versus where you came from and the artists that you're going to be working with tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's a big question. Let me try to get a handle on it and to share with you what's, you know, top of mind for, on that question and what you've just kind of run down. One way of looking at it is my work has always been Textpressionist, especially since I went, ever since I crossed over in the middle, early to middle 1980s into, from analog media, which is traditional painting and drawing, into digital media. You know, and I first discovered digital media, what they used to call computer graphics, mm-hmm. In 1980. But I mean, computer graphics started in the 60s, and there's pioneers that were in the 60s and 70s that predated me. I came online in the 1980s, but I had this sort of gradual transition, a kind of a 83 to 87, 85, 87, where I was fully digital in my mind. But it was always a mixture of sort of analog expression, meaning sort of like, you know, using perspective, using polyhedra that are independent of expression in a way. They're these sort of like perennial shapes. They go, humans have been interacting with polyhedral structure for thousands of years. You know, you mm-hmm. go back to the Greeks, for example. So all of that is in there. And then I was always interested in art and geometry. That's a sort of subgroup. So you know, there was my heroes when I was coming up as a student, M.C. Escher, and I dug Picasso because of cubism, a sort of a graphical metaphor that geometricized the world, if you will, in terms graphically. And it started with Cezanne. So, and I learned, you know, I was into music for a while, and I saw how you could study rock and roll and the history of that, compressed history, how it developed, or even jazz. How Miles played with Charlie Parker, and then Coltrane came online. So I use that kind of like approach to learning to be a visual artist. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, like have my heroes, have my influences, and then bring my own thing to it, you know, do something different. So anyway, that's a long answer. I barely even answered your question, but I was already a Textpressionist, as Colin Goldberg says, you're a Textpressionist when you say you are. It's really it's really a thing. That it's a moniker, it's an umbrella that you know, the 99 percentile of digital artists can get behind and get under. You know, I hadn't really thought of this before, but it's really, and wasn't sure if I wanted to say this.
Say it.
On the air.
Say it.
Part of the spirit of Textpressionism is occupy digital art. Hmm. If you know what I mean.
What do you mean by that? I feel, but I don't know technically what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm just kind of going, sort of throwing into a political thing into it. You know, there's Occupy Wall Street.
Oh, like Occupy LA, Occupy New York.
Yeah. There's a political component to it mm-hmm. that was never really spoken about, and I never really thought of it. Because I already knew it was for a movement, mm-hmm. a name of a particular way of operating for a wide swath of practitioners that are in and outside the system.
Mm-hmm.
I probably said too much, but that's
no. I want to go back to that. We've got some time. I want to go back. I want to hear. You know, don't be afraid, you guys. This is LA Talk Radio. It's a live stream. You can say pretty much anything. What I don't like is to. I don't put other people down. I would never downplay anyone else to bring up someone else. Everybody is. We have enough room, enough space in the world for everything. It's a big world. It's a big planet. You know, it's just a space. Yeah. So don't be afraid to speak up and out. Nobody's going to come for you. And if they do, I'll stand
by. Be careful what you ask for.
Yeah. That's what they want to hear. My audience likes to hear deep. We like going deep. We don't like shallow, kind of superficial. Well, how did you start? Blue, blah. You know, we know all of that. I'm trying to get to what this is about. It's a movement.
Yeah, totally is. It is an art movement. And even Colin was kind of unsure if he should present it, come forward with that as a movement. You know, it's a handy art historical term that can describe a certain way of working, as they say, an approach to working with digital tools. You know, technology has been with making visuals ever since the cave days. You know, art and technology are totally combined in terms as a human activity. However, our moment is digital, our digital technology, and it's changing the world. Computer graphics did it, and AI is doing it again. You know, the world is, we've just crossed over the, what do we call it? The, it's a certain phrase, but we've crossed into this new phase.
Crossed over the, we're going where no people have ever gone before.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going where no man or no woman has ever gone before. You know, so.
Crossed over the Rubicon. That's the phrase I was looking for.
That's what you're talking about, yeah.
It goes back to ancient Rome. But anyway.
Go ahead.
I should let.
We're going to talk to Lucy next. We're going to come back to you. We've got some time. Yeah. Miss Lucy Boyd-Wilson. You synthesize organic forms, architecture. I love what you guys do. And technologically curating a show like Los Angeles. How do you merge? You give us a quick chit chat about what to expect when we walk into LACTA tomorrow night and we see all of these beautiful pieces moving on a screen. You guys, this art is moving. It's kind of heavy, so don't go in there on any heavy drugs. I'm warning you, please. Don't do any kind of drugs or anything, because it is quite unsettling if you're not used to seeing a conglomeration of things moving on the screen at one time and music and the whole thing. So Miss Boyd-Wilson, would you do us the pleasure of telling us what you do and what you're going to be doing tomorrow?
Well, my background, I'll start with my background, then I'll talk about the show. But my background, I started in math and computer science as a programmer. I was an animation programmer during the 90s, and worked at Softimage, was one of the places which created animation tools used by the film industry. And then I was living and working and studying in Montreal at that time. And then I moved to San Diego in 2001, and that's when I started as a video game programmer. So for many years, I was making video games as a programmer and loving the experience of working with animators and artists and audio designers and storytellers and gameplay designers. So that was really formative for me, and just a wonderful collaborative experience being a technologist in that space. And now in the last 10 years, I'm my own artist. So I'm a solo artist using various technologies to create. So LACTA, when you walk into the doors of LACTA, there's prints on all the walls. Rex does all the printing. So we have 34 artists. And so there's digital images printed on all the walls. And there are video screens. 7 or 9 video screens, and many of the artists submitted videos as well. So 2 or 3 animations playing on each monitor. And also there's a projection space where 4 of my animations will be playing with audio in the projection space. Mm-hmm. And also we are doing a collaboration, as Randy mentioned, with the digital artist community group. And we can talk more about that, but there's a monitor showing those collaborations also.
Oh my gosh. So I didn't want to take away that you're an artist. I wanted to kind of expound upon that in our second round of questions, because I'm very curious. You know, programming people seem really technical to me. You know, the IT guys are all like, yo, we're uptight, you know, we're not gonna do, you know, we're gonna go, we're gonna fix. You know, they seem like this really conservative kind of technical kind of energy, but in entertainment, the field, the IT people can be a little bit more relaxed, maybe a little bit more fun, playful. And I wanted to ask you, because you are an artist yourself, is it confusing to you, or how do you kind of separate mentally and emotionally your experience as an artist and your experience as a curator? Do you go into it's all about me and the artist, or as a curator, I'm about serving the people, serving up some good work and presenting it? How does that work?
For the curator question, Randy is a more experienced curator. So okay, I'm new at curating. So, but as far as the technology versus art question, way at the beginning high school, I was on the fence. Do I study fine arts or mathematics? So right from the beginning, it's just like, okay, I love them both. And I studied math and computer science, and early on decided it's going to be computer graphics or nothing. Mm-hmm. If I'm writing code, it's got to be all about visuals. So, and then there was many, many years, decades of as a technologist, an animation programmer, creating software to be used by artists and making video games, same thing, but enjoying the collaborative effort in the video game team, but always, you know, love the collaboration, the richness of all the mediums that we're combining together, but always felt like, oh, I'm an artist trapped in a programmer's career. You know, I need to be an artist. So there was always that struggle for me. And then finally it's like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm just going to do it. And then it was a very, you know, it's been a pretty long journey. It's been 10 or 12 years now, gradually finding my way as an artist. And it's not like, oh, now I'm an artist. It's like, oh, no, that's really a journey of its own. And there's ways in which I wish I'd started at the beginning of my adult life, because it's such a long journey. I understand what it means to be an artist for your entire adult life and have that body of art behind you in that long journey. But for me, it's like, okay, my medium is technology. Mm-hmm. This is the ocean that I swim in. Mm-hmm. I do math. I write code. I know these engines. I've written these engines. And so this is my medium. It's not like I only started 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like I know this world. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I can really, and you know, embrace it and take on the technologies and use them to express in my own way. And the visuals that I, you know, choose to create, it's always ephemeral and soft. And I appreciate having this technical background, mm-hmm. even though there was that tension between art and technology and what am I, and, you know, and finally now I'm bringing it all together.
You're integrated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So another question, I don't know, I can't think of the name of the film, but and I think it felt like, now that I know what it felt like text expressionism. They used a bit of it in Doctor Strange. They used some of it before Dr. Strange. It was that movie that Matt Damon, they were testing Emily Pope, I think her name is. they all had to use their mind to move buildings and everything, and all the buildings were shifting. And then they change architectural structure. You could run on top of one of the other buildings and it'll move down, and then you have to go back up. And it looked like expressionism. They use all these integral parts to move solid structures from one form to another, for lack of a better way to explain it. So, in my opinion, none of us would be around if the world had stayed the way it was. And in terms of starting, we started when we start because the time was right for us to start. The world wouldn't have been ready for you if you had started when you started. Or not even me, you know, that we still had a lot of boundaries and stuff. And I want to talk to you about removing boundaries. And then now I want to go back to Randy, who your wonderful person here gave you some flowers and said you're much better at curating. She's still new. When you curate, I want to ask you, when you curate and you are presenting artists, is there any political innuendos involved at all? Is there, we want to push this artist like this because they're dealing with this fact and it's maybe something to media, the news, or is it equal fair play and you just present everyone as expressionist?
So every show is different because it depends on the theme of the show. Mm-hmm. This show is very much about highlighting expressionism. It's the largest show ever in Los Angeles to show expressionist artists, 34 artists in one show. It's almost impossible to do that. And in LA, because there's just not the venues. Like, we just have Dataland now, and it's still mostly one artist's curation and technology. So the questions become, you know, as an artist, as a curator, what does a curator do? There, you have to separate them in this context. Lumping them together doesn't do either justice. So, because there are shows that are political and they can happen in all mediums, from technology to analog. We'll just say it that way for now. Mm-hmm. So this show is not political. It's political enough that we're using technology. Some are generative. People have multiple components. So a movie special effect, like a building, maybe this is controversial, but a building moving is a special effect in a movie. What expressionists, right, for the most part are doing are not trying to create special effects. We might be using special mm-hmm. effects, mm-hmm. but really what's behind it is this experience that is in a visual art format, that is not a movie, that is not anything else. It's not a recording of an event. Mm-hmm. It can have all those elements in it, but it's the manipulating technology beyond a tool, but as an accepted medium. Because if we remember history and art history, photography was a no-no in the beginning. How dare you take a picture? Mm-hmm. Tubed oil paint was a no-no. How dare you buy something pre-manufactured? Etc., etc., etc. The same way people were afraid of electricity, we were afraid of cars, you know, this is history. Anything new is a fear factor. There is truly things to be concerned about in the digital age and environmental concerns, but that is not this show. You know, and there's enough of that will be talked about, and the concerns of data centers. So this is the conundrum of using technology or generative technology mm-hmm. as a medium. So to curate for this show, no one artist is above another. Okay, it was really, here we are in Los Angeles, where it's been very hard to get more than one screen per artist ever. Mm. For decades, it feels like, and not that long, but you know what I mean, for years. I have been, you know, a lot of times you try to curate a show. What's special about LACTA is that they have screens. Rex does good. Print. Mm-hmm. He does, you don't have to bring your screen. You don't have to rent your video wall. You don't have to necessarily come in with your several computers for, you know, in this case you do for your interactive experiences, but it's still a work in progress for functional galleries to be able to provide what artists using technology want to do. So this is the fine line, because even in my work, now we just did this collaboration with the digital art community, and you know, an experiment, six groups. The challenge was we had a technologist, even if they are visually inclined and are an artist, we had sound artists doing soundscapes, and we had visual artists. To mix those three influences was quite challenging because they don't have to work together ever. And each artist in their own right, in some form, manipulates every aspect of it by themselves. So that comes back to the expressionism side of the show. This is highlighting each individual artist's expression. 34 amazing artists, half of which have do video, moving image work is the way we usually refer to that, I think. And Victor or Lucy can correct me and or expound on it. And it's to highlight our unique visions. Nobody's images look the same. It's really a unique experience. I invite the audience to really get out there. It's up for a month from July 9th through August 1st.
Yes.
And part of this collab, as I mentioned it, this is also part of a much larger industry-oriented digital arts community with artists, technologists, professionals, people in the movie industry. And I mean, the list goes on. Victor knows a lot more about this group, SIGGRAPH, this conference, and where this project is being highlighted at. And it was really wonderful because usually expressionists, the artist end of the technology, is not always considered in the composers, in the filmmakers. We're like the least, in this moment, we're changing this moment.
Yes, you are.
We are the least considered. And now we are like, no, you need us because your images suck. Sorry to say that on the radio. But your images aren't artsy enough. They are visual, but they're not necessarily art. And that's where expressionism changes the conversation.
Now, we talked a little bit about, I'm going to go to Victor. We talked a little bit about Pollock and Krasner. And, you know, he started the whole movement anyway. He started moving. That was the whole thing. That's where he busted out, was like, wow, paint can move. It's fluid. It can fly. It can land. It can, you can stomp on it and make things out of it. So, Victor, in your work, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of things, how has it been a big challenge, as Randy said, moving a lot of the boundaries that we get locked behind, the political boundaries, the boundaries of LA, you know, like, well, maybe we never had anything like that before, and now here you come, and those kind of things. Tell me what happens. What have you experienced, oh, Guru Victor Acevedo?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's a very real component to this, or a real part of this whole unfolding and the kind of the development of an art form and civilization itself. There's always reticence, like as Randy said, the fear factor. People, anything new, especially technologically, is some people embrace it. They love it. This is the future. This is going to be the new thing. It's going to be make living so much better. Then there's the people that are afraid of it or think it's evil. And we've gone through this many times. I mean, in different technologies, you could trace it if you track the history of technology being implemented into civilization or culture. Mm-hmm. And I see it just more recently in digital art itself. And it used to be called computer art, but there was a lot of resistance there. Mm-hmm. You know, first artists, in the 60s, you know, they had a lot, there's books that have been written about this. There was a lot of pushback. How can you make art with computers? That's a non sequitur. That's a, you know, non starter. That's impossible. It's too, you know, there was this. And so we had to go through that. And even, you know, well-schooled art historians and art critics would take on that stance. And we're going, you know, and, you know, we talk about AI, people think you just press a button or just do a text prompt and you get a whole picture or a little movie. They said that about computers, just humble computer imaging software. Oh, you just push a button and you make an image. That's not art. And, you know, they, so, you know, that's the funny thing about humans. They go through the same, on one level, they don't really learn and build on what happened before. They, every, you know, they go through the same cycle. That's why I actually think that AI is ultimately going to be good for humanity. It's one of the few hopes we have to extend life on the planet if the right people get in charge of it, because you could see what humans alone without AI have done. the planet and what they're, you know, what they've gotten up to. So that's one of the few hopeful tool sets that were in my mind. And I'm not a politician. I don't go and you know.
But I know you've seen a lot. I can feel it. I can feel through your eyes. I can see what you've seen. You know, I can feel what you've seen through your eyes. And I know the kind of resistance that happens when anything new hears everybody. I have people that won't talk to me because I had you guys on the show today.
Oh, wow.
They feel like, yeah, they feel like you're selling out. I don't care. But I'm just saying, you know, people feel like you're selling out. I thought you were an artist. You know, now you use a computer to do art. That's going to take away money from the pocket of the artist. It's the same thing in music, Lucy. It's the same thing in art, where anything new feels threatening, like everything old is just going to suddenly disappear and everyone, nobody's going to know what's happening. So Ms. Boyd, that's Wilson. I want to hear your perspective on how it feels to be new and just starting out curating in a world that it is more digital than it was analog, than it is analog from many years ago. And especially with you coming, I saw that you did a lot of programming, and I've always been fascinated by women who choose the field of programming and technology anyway, because you're ahead of yourself. Those are fields that were mostly occupied by men. And now here you and Randy come along, you're curating and you're doing technology and everything. What is some of the challenges that you've experienced just going into another aspect of the industry, this particular field?
Let me think now. Yeah, excellent questions. Okay, one of the challenges for me is finding venues that can really show digital art. And I mean, showing digital art that's in the form of a video, that's easy to do, can play anywhere on any monitor, any screen, on our phones. But representing experiences that are more installational and immersive. I was in your question to Victor about breaking the bounds. I wanted to talk about breaking the bounds of, yes, of the screen, of a rectangular screen, the screen of our phone, the screen of a monitor, the screen of an image, you know, framed and hanging on the wall, with in creating sort of immersive experiences where there is no frame. If you think of you know, a dome. Projection, where the image is all around you, and designing for that is different than designing for a rectangle.
Whoa.
Or designing for a virtual reality. And I've done some, you know, virtual reality explorations. You got a headset on, but the viewer is in the middle of the art. The viewer can look up and down and sideways and behind them, or video games. That's another example of you know, an immersive experience where the designers are creating an entire world and the viewer moves through the world. So that's one of the biggest challenges for me, is finding places that can display experiences that are not on a monitor.
So wow,
and is one
and even monitors are challenging.
Really, just in the monitor, period. Letting only any shape.
It's very challenging.
Oh my god,
the whole
god.
Thing. And what Lucy's talking about is even more challenging. Mm. And then the interactive pieces, where even if it's on your phone, you have to do hand gestures, or you enter a world and you have to become an avatar in the world, and you're still walking through, even if it is on your computer or your phone. There's so many experiences beyond. Sorry, Lucy.
No, it's fine. I was just thinking of that, about how if they could actually have the people jump into the, you know, the experience while the experience is moving and all that, that's where I would be going. I mean, to me, if you're going to be hip, I want to see people beam up and all of that. That's where I am technically. Oh. To me, we are still not as advanced as we would like to be. And if it were in the fact that human beings were so good and great at what we do, there would be no need for technology in the first place. So we can blame ourselves for having technology have the void that technology would be needed in the first place. That's what the problem is. We're not even living up to our full brain capacity. And then we want to get upset because we can't think and function fast enough because we're only still at level 22 brain power when technology is probably way up here somewhere. That's why technology is only as intelligent as the people that are using it. It is a tool, just like a car, just like your anything else that we use. It's a tool. You can either make good use of the tool, not understand the tool, or be brilliant at the tool.
And what I also want to point to is, you know, now in Los Angeles, on your way to SoFi Stadium, there are more screens that are starting to have, unfortunately, a lot of it's just commercials, but they are using it. It's not as broad over in LA like it is in Shanghai or parts of the world. Yeah. And we're missing those experiences. We're all eager to see, and that's also startling. To see a bigger world. I grew up, you know, growing up in Las Vegas, and even now in Las Vegas, even though many of the advertisements on the buildings are commercials in a way for the shows or whatever, but that's how art can also be experienced on this grander scale, even in the exterior of our cities, you know, as we pass through. So there's so many opportunities that we haven't even got there, concepts, you know, that we haven't had in reality yet.
That's right. I think of when you said that, I saw somebody walking by a building, because I've seen those buildings in Dubai, where they have the art coming out of the, you know, at the people or the lion actually roaring. I'm like, wow, how are they able to do all of that? What are we doing over here? You know, we should be able to do that. I mean, come on, you know, we're Americans and we have some technology. So Victor, my dear.
Okay.
Yeah. What has been the itch in your butt about the Texpressionist movement that we as a country should be aware of? You know, it's like something that gnaws you, like, I don't know why they don't do this, or I don't know why we can't do it this way, or I don't know why it can't be done that way, instead of just like, oh, the powers that be say, look, you can only use a 12 by 15 square thing, and you can only use this kind of building, and can only have these kind of rules. That's what I want to know. That's why I said it in that way.
Oh, like, okay, let me sort of process your question and think about, you know.
The biggest thing that gets on your nerves.
The biggest thing
that when people come to you and say, oh, you're a Texpressionist, or how do you feel, you know, going from bull that? I want to know.
Yeah. You know, I sort of gotten over the years, you know, this sort of question, but mostly privately, really, like, you know, people would ask that know me or a friend of a friend, that say someone might be involved, an artist who works only in analog media, you know, traditional materials, and or they know that I used to paint. I actually started as a, you know, drawing with graphite and oil painting, quite frankly. That was in the 70s. And people would ask me, well, how come you don't paint anymore? Or do you think you'll ever start painting again? As if my digital work is some sort of like side trip, and I got distracted from the real thing, you know. So that's what comes to mind with your question. I mean, but at the same time, I don't feel that I need to take the role of being a proselytizing for digital, because it's happening. The world is changing. We're becoming ever more cybernetic. We're becoming, you know, cyber. We are interpenetrated by technological, you know, processes by virtue of the technology itself. And I did want to add something about AI. Another reason why it does have a scary component that is justified is it's the first time a technology was had its own agency, potentially. You know, what we're getting now with ChatGPT is just introductory safe kid stuff compared to what it's possible. You know, what the highest levels of, you know, government money and old think are using it. You know, we can, this conversation can easily, you know, get political. That's why I'm kind of like, I'll keep backing away from the line. But it's an independent, like there's a guy I follow, is Harari.
Yeah.
You know him? Noah Harari. He wrote Sapiens, and he wrote a lot of variety of books. But he comes on a lot on these little Instagram posts and stuff. And he's a historian, and he's sending out the alarm that AI is potentially dangerous if it's used for the wrong ends, because he says AI could easily be called alien intelligence.
It could be.
Yeah, it's actually the closest thing. You know, humanity has been preoccupied with the notion of extraterrestrials, and higher intelligent beings coming to the planet Earth, and putting us
hiding down. Away in the machine.
Yeah, yeah, taking over and dominating us.
Like in the Transformers.
Or they'll turn into HAL, like on 2000.
Oh, yeah.
What a Space Odyssey, you know. Yeah, and those are real fears that we, you know, there's no, we don't know what the controls are. Or
we don't know.
Yeah.
But as an artist, just using it for art and not, but I will say from AI does not make a full, by itself, even now, I don't, movie by itself or painting by itself.
Yeah,
there's still the hand. I mean, I'm all for tech as tool.
Yeah,
I also have shared concerns about AI, mm-hmm. and thus the early stages of slop art. Slop. Let's talk about slop. You know, if you don't mind. Versus,
no,
like, well, we're all doing about, this tech. We're very serious artists versus trying to create slop or political. We know artists who are doing great work being political and using it for all these things, whether they're in the show or not in the show, and that's a voice. But it's just, we're fighting for it, you know, I think in our worlds, it's just to use it as an expressive tool.
It can get political, and it will get political. As soon as everybody gets big enough, like everything else, as soon as it gets big enough to become a threat, then all the big boys are going to come in, and then we're going to have a problem. I'm going to be right there to have a problem with everybody else.
Because the data centers.
We are mature people. We're not kids. None of us are just, you know, we're not 10 and 12 years old. You just can't run some scam over people that have been around long enough to know the changes, like you, Victor, you've seen, and like you, Randy, like you, Lucy, I've seen all these different changes. You came out of programming. Look at how much programming and coding has changed. They got kids in the garage doing coding. I'm still trying to understand what coding means, let alone making use of coding. So we've got to deal with all of those different factors that are budding into our world as we also progress as a humanity, you know. And Lucy, I want to ask you something. When you came out of, you're not completely out of programming, but when you come out of programming, is your day-to-day basically adding programming into the Textpressionist technology, or you don't have to do it at all? Is it a component of it, or you just don't have to do it as much, or is it involved at all? Real quick.
I still write code. I write code whenever needed. It's just a tool. In the same way that one uses Photoshop or an animation tool or video editing, I write code. To simplify my tasks, and especially in creating interactive pieces, that's when you really have to kind of customize. Coding is just some part of the background stuff that I do.
Mm-hmm. You guys, we are running out of time. I need everyone to talk about Lacta tomorrow. It starts at what? What's the time it starts? Tomorrow night.
Six.
Sorry, 6 p.m. It goes to what, 9?
Till 10.
10.
So 6 till 10. Usually those are art shows, usually waver around those hours. So if you're used to going out to art, but please go out and support. I'm going to catch one of the nights tomorrow. I've got a busy day and I won't be able to make maybe the opening, but I will be there. I'm definitely a Textpressionist. I think that's probably maybe where I'm going. I don't know yet. I'm in both, all of it. You know, I like everything that's going on pretty much, you know, but I'm very open to new ideas and higher learning and things that make a difference. So Randy, where can we find more about you and your work? Go.
RandyMatushevitz.com or at Randy Matushevitz Art on Instagram. And that will take you to YouTube and everywhere else.
Okay. And then Miss Lucy, Boyd Deswisson. Where do we find more about you?
LucyBoydWilson.com. Mm-hmm. And Lucy Boyd Wilson on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and everywhere.
So. And you guys, you don't have to use the dash. I'm just messing with her. I'm just teasing. And then Mr. Victor Acevedo, where do we find you? Learn more about you.
Well, you know, I have my website, which is my last name, Acevedo Media, one word, .com. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on Instagram. You can find me. You could just Google Victor Acevedo and it'll come up. But I believe it's like Acevedo347 is my handle. Mm-hmm. And then on X, it's similar. I think it's Acevedo Media on X. Those are my main ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm on others, but those are the ones that I sort of put out to the public where they really want to get a window into my work and see what I'm up to.
Okay. These people are being very modest. They are worldwide famous. So don't, please, just because you've never heard of them or whatever, if you have, they are worldwide famous. Bringing it to LA, trying to open LA up so people will want to come here again and not be wanting to go everywhere else because everywhere else seems to be growing and we're not kind of growing as maybe as fast. We have people like Victor and Lucy and Randy helping and Lacta now opening up to getting some stuff in there. But I love you, you guys. I love you. I love that you're doing your own thing. We are all people that are progressive thinkers. We like trying, stepping outside of the box. So if you're one of those people, I'm definitely the show for you, the podcast you should be watching. I love doing different things, talking to different kind of people. I do not like the regimen. I'm going to tell you that now about me. But anyway, I love you. I love you because you're still being yourself and doing what you want to do. I like you because you are true to your purpose, to what you were put on this earth to do, and don't let anyone tell you different. For me, you can go on IG, Osiris_Munir_the painter. Without your support of liking, sharing, and above all, subscribing to our LA Talk Radio channels with our YouTube and everything else. I'm everywhere, all over the place, all at once. Thanks to the lovely and the wonderful, beautiful human being who calls himself Sam Hassan at LA Talk Radio. I just adore you. I'm so happy that we have encountered each other on this timeline. And do any of you have anything else to say? Victor, go, because I know you wanted to say something. You seem like you wanted to say a little bit more.
Oh, let's see. Let me just sort of fill in the blanks. Lacta's been around for 21 years now, even if people are hearing about it for the first time. And we keep saying Lacta, that stands for Los Angeles Center for Digital Art. So it's amazing, you know, sort of landmark and oasis for this form that Rex Bruce, mm-hmm. the director, has supported all these years. And it's gone through various locations. That's one component. And the digital art community project, CoLab, the collaboration between a select group of tech expressionists, including us three here, mm-hmm. And these technologists and music people, composers usually, but music people that are digital, that's what's important. Mm-hmm. We've been put together to do this, and that the digital art community is actually a subgroup of what Randy mentioned before is SIGGRAPH. And SIGGRAPH is a acronym that stands for a special interest group on computer graphics and interactive techniques. And that's been around for about 52, 53 years. And that's kind of like where the history of digital art has been actually available in public, but within this cocoon of this organization. And that's just being unpacked now by the historians. There's so many things we can go into. There's so many angles. Yeah. The art market is opening up to digital for the first time. It's after 50, 60 years, it's finally starting. You know, it's like that. That's another part of the experience of this.
What about NFTs? Don't you have some NFTs and all of that? Are you working with NFT and that real quick?
I do. All those? Yeah, there's
is
that.
Is that going to be a big thing? Is that going to come out more or pop out?
It was a quick flourish. There was this boom and then it kind of was a bust and it died down. But the technology is here to stay. The underlying technology is the blockchain, which is a part of the internet that you can do transactions and you can have attach provenance data or information to digital objects. Mm-hmm. You know, in the old days, you know, digital art was not valued by the art market because, you know, oh, you have a JPEG on the screen. I can just drag and drop it to my desktop for free. And a million people can do that for free. Yeah. So why would I pay $5,000 for one image? Mm-hmm. But the blockchain changed that and NFTs changed that, non-fungible tokens. So it's still there. You know, the famous analogy is after the internet, the dot-com bust, in about 2000, the internet didn't go away. Mm-hmm. Just that whole speculation layer and all that, you know, propaganda, marketing propaganda, you know, fell by the wayside. But the underlying technology is solid. And then the people that were building up from there come in. And that's what's happening, will happen with the blockchain.
Okay, Randy, you have anything else to say? Our curator and in budding over there, Lucy. Is there anything else you wonderful, beautiful lovelies would like to say?
Thank you for having us.
You are
and
so welcome.
It's always wonderful to hang out with you and talk. And to the people out there, come see the show, the Seagraph Convention. It's a big thing. This is our world. This is where we like to play. It's cool stuff. That's what you need to know. You were looking at your phones all the time anyways. Why not look at some other stuff, some art?
And I like that it's, you know, everything has its timing. And, you know, it all starts and you can see the travel. You can see the process of how it's now like, hi, we're still here. You know, hi, I'm the baby, but I've been around for a while. Before I forget, shout out to this wonderful human being known as Colin Goldberg. Thank you so much for bringing all these people together. Did you want to say something? You did your hand like that.
Oh, I was just doing a thumbs up. I just a flesh.
Shout out
flesh
to Colin. Thank you so much.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Colin is the founder of Techspressionism, you guys. If you want to look him up, please do. Please look up all of these wonderful artists. I want to thank again Randy Manashevitz, Lucy Boyd Wilson, and the wonderful Victor Acevedo. Thank you so much for coming out. Don't forget, I love you. I like you. I love you. And don't forget to smile. It works. I want to see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Osiris. Wonderful to hang out with you and to,
thank you,
to share and talk.
You're listening to The Osiris Munir Show, only on LA Talk Radio.